Pass on KMOX, a few minutes past 3 p.m. Pat on the stream says, I was listening to your segment about schools. You should check out the college school. Checked it out, Pat. Nick is a graduate of the college school. So I know the college school very, very well. It's very experiential. I didn't want him to go there. His mom and I fought about it because we were divorced at the time. And she won. I gave her way. And I'm very glad I did because it was a great experience. He learned a lot. It was fun. It was hands-on. Like their fourth grade year, their whole math curriculum was building a creek. And then they would bring in, you know, the this and this. And it's really cool. So
he wasn't making good choices.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite Nick stories.
When Nick when Nick was not quite four, he went to a Montessori school.
Oh, sorry. It's a different school.
Yeah, went to a Montessori school. And the first day I took him, it was wintertime. And the thing about Montessori schools is they don't really help the kids. Like, they'll figure it out. They know what they're doing. And Nick was trying to get his winter coat off, and he couldn't get it off. And he was looking around, and no one was helping him. And I was hiding behind a pillar to make sure he was okay. And so he finally, like, he pulls it over his head, and his hair's all messed up. And he looks around, and he goes, son of a bitch. And then they would serve each other breakfast every morning. And if you weren't behaving well, you had to wear like this necklace of shame, and his friend had to wear it, and Nick's just eating, and Maria and I are like, well, what did he do? What happened? And he looks at me, he goes, he was making poor choices.
Like, duh. Why else would he be wearing the necklace
like,
of
we
shame?
We need to get one of those necklaces. Of course, I'd be right. Man. I'd be wearing it the whole time. So what's new? What have you seen?
Well, last week, you know, was a big kerfuffle about The Odyssey, and so I didn't really get to talk about the two movies that I really enjoyed, and that was Is God Is and Obsession. And Obsession has been getting a lot of talk online, especially because I think it was filmed for, and I'm going to get this wrong, but I could look at it real quick, is like $177,000, I want to believe, and it's made $16 million so far.
Wow.
And it's, I don't want to say it's a fun horror movie. It definitely is dark. It's a dark comedy. One of the few movies that actually has some legitimate jump scares, but a great premise. The acting is phenomenal, and it does a great job of the girl who is kind of the scarer in the movie. You do get a sense of how much of a victim she is in this movie. And then it's because the premise is this boy who has a crush on a girl, and instead of just telling her, hey, I got a crush on you, would you like to go on a date? He goes and buys this one wish willow, breaks it, and his wish is, I wish that she'd love me more than anyone else. Well, the whole thing is, you know, be careful what you wish for, because she does love him more than anyone else, and becomes obviously obsessed with him. So it's a great horror film. I suggest everybody go out and watch if that's the genre kind of movie you enjoy.
Stars, non-stars?
Non-stars.
I like that.
And I believe the director is also another guy from YouTube, and these guys have just been killing it lately. A lot of these guys that they've been pulling from YouTube and making these movies, they've been doing a great job with these horror movies. So, yeah, kudos to him for doing it on a low budget. It's great word of mouth. People They enjoy it. A lot of people are like, I'm not in a rush to go see it again. Mm. it's pretty terrifying, pretty traumatic. I enjoy good original movie. And, you know, like when you get those kind of like hits out of nowhere, you know, like obviously like The Mandalorian and Grogu are out this weekend, and it's not getting great praise, but they don't know how much advertising they have to do. Do they really need to have a Burger King meal for people to know that it's out? Probably not. So movies that are like a little bit under the radar, I appreciate these. And then there's another one called Is God Is, and it's got Sterling K. Brown as the quote unquote villain in this movie. Again, the two stars, the two girls that play twins in this, not big name actors, but it's like an urban take on like a spaghetti Western. Like I was sitting there and I was like, this is shot very spaghetti Western style. It was like close ups and like the ambiguous anti-hero, and it's just really good. But it's like a Greek tragedy that plays out. And again, I just enjoy when there are original stories out there that people should go out and see.
Yeah. I watch both of those.
Yeah, they're really, both of them, again, very dark movies. The Is God is brutal, but it's not as graphic, I would say, as Obsession. Obsession definitely has a scene in there that, you might have to... You might have to look away from, and it goes on for a while too. It's pretty graphic and pretty brutal. So, yeah, but I enjoyed those.
And did you see Mandalorian and Gorko?
No,
Baby Gorko.
Is it Gorko or Groot? Yeah, okay. No, I only got to see the first 25 minutes of it. It appears that they are pulling marketing out of St. Louis and not really going to let us do screenings anymore. So that's fun.
Because we're too small.
Yeah, it looks like they're really consolidating to the big cities, big 10, 12 cities, and going to put all their money into doing screenings and influencer stuff.
I know this is going to be so Pollyannish.
Sure.
But that bothers me because I get it. It's a business. It's money. Invest where you're going to get the biggest return. But I feel like they kind of owe the critics.
Definitely the middle of the country. They've decided that, Nashville, St. Louis, Kansas City, a lot of those, like, even Chicago's getting cut out of some of those, which is kind of even shocking that way. But, yeah, they've just decided to really kind of pull back towards just the coasts and leave us the rest just kind of...
Okay. What is the new horror movie with Adam Scott?
Hokum.
Yeah, what do you know?
I've heard great things about it. Everybody I know that have seen it has just, they say it's so good that he's so good in it. The acting's incredible in it. And I just think it's, again, I know people are like, somebody talked about like it's elevated horror. And I feel that that's kind of, in a way, kind of crapping on the horror genre because it is definitely different than what it used to be. I mean, like, it's the horror movies that are being put out now are a different level than like Halloween, where it's just, you know, you give a guy in a mask and a bodysuit and a knife and he just stalks everybody and kills everybody. Now you have a lot of themes of like grief and longing and isolation. There's deeper stories within these horror stories that actually kind of, I think, make them more emotional, and I don't mean like crying emotion. I mean like they have more of an impact and they hit you harder when the horror comes because it hits you on a level that's not just like, oh, I'm just running through the woods from some scary guy. So yeah, I think a lot of these horror movies that are coming, like Backrooms is coming out.
I
know
can't
soon.
Wait for that.
Right. And so like I said, you've got Obsession and I wouldn't call Is God Is a horror movie, but it's dark comedy. But, you know, Hokum, and you had some even earlier this year I'm blanking on, but they have, just like I said, the stories are better, they're deeper, they have more impact than what they used to. And I think you're starting to see that now, even in the award shows, they're starting to award the creativity on those.
Anyone else watching Widow's Bay?
Yes.
I'm only one...
I can't tell if I like it or not.
I'm only one episode in.
I'm three in and I'm still on the fence. Like, I don't
really?
Know if I like it or not.
What is it about?
It's it's a New England island that the it's about the mayor. The mayor is, what's his name? Reese? His last name is Reese. Jonathan Reese.
From the Americans.
Matthew Reese, right. So he's the main guy. Stephen Root is in it. He's one of the characters. He's hilarious. I love him. I wish he was the star because I think he's more compelling than Matthew Reese. But it's a kind of a quirky horror, right? This island is supposed, and this is not any spoilers, because this is like first episode you've seen this, right? It's island is maybe or maybe not haunted. A lot of legends about the sea and sailors who in the past would disappear, people dying in strange ways. And the mayor's like not believing it. And he wants to turn it into the next Martha's Vineyard. He wants to turn it in this island into a great vacation spot. And that's kind of the basic premise you start with. And then you start seeing whether or not there are horror things. There's a place that's supposed to be haunted and all that. And it's a combination of supposed to be a little scary and a little funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure either one of them's totally working. But I'm not hating it either. Like, I'm trying to figure out where it's going to go.
Because is the comedy dark comedy?
A little bit.
Because it can work if they. You have to have the right tone of comedy to put into a movie like
that. Yeah, and it's not. Again, it's not. I don't hate it.
Is it too slow for you?
No, it's just I'm not sure they've picked a lane, and I'm not sure that they're doing both things at the same time is going to work great. Maybe it's just I don't really care that much about any of the characters yet either.
Did anyone see the Jordan Peele movie Him?
Yes.
I haven't finished it yet.
It's, oh my God.
It looks awful. Is it good?
No. It's not. And especially because of the ending. I want you to finish it just because the ending is so, it takes forever to get there. And then when they finally do, they throw everything at you. And it is just, it's bizarre. I think, now Marlon Wayans does a phenomenal job in that movie. He's so good in that movie, but it gets kooky. It gets really kooky.
Okay.
So
did you guys like Nope?
Yeah. It was fine.
It was a little slow.
It was fine. Like, I thought it was, if I didn't have a lot of hype going into it, I probably would have liked it more.
Oh, I loved it.
And I felt the same way about Get Out, where I thought it was good, but I thought the hype made me disappointed because I thought it was supposed to be this like game changer of a movie. And it was fine, but it just wasn't that.
Yeah.
Rach, did you prefer Get Out or
Us?
Us. I started saying them.
Yeah.
I used to call it This Is Us, which is very different. I think Us is a better movie probably, but I've seen Get Out like 10 times because that one doesn't scare me to death like Us does.
Yeah, Us is terrifying.
Could they do a sequel? I forgot how it ended.
It ends with everybody holding hands, all the doppelgangers holding hands across the country.
What a great idea. I thought it was a great idea.
He's got a brain, I tell you.
Anyone watch his Twilight Zone?
No.
No, I kind of forgot he did that.
They're really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Ryan Coogler's X-Files.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to redo that. Sounds cool,
yeah. Molly's going to join us in studio at 4 p.m. Another game tonight, 6:45, Wheels.
That's correct.
And 12:15 tomorrow, which means we will be on late. I'll be gone from Friday. I'll be back the following Friday. The guys will take good care of you, but it's a weird week. Memorial Day, and I think there's another game next week,
Wednesday.
Rach, you had a movie question for Janelle.
I just thought that we could throw this out there for the whole group, but it would be fun when Janelle is here too. This is a question I saw on Reddit earlier this week. Okay, you get $1 million, but you have to watch the exact same movie 100 times in 40 days. Which movie are you picking? There's a lot to Gruber. There's a lot to consider here because you're probably going to spoil whatever movie this is for yourself for the rest of time by watching it 100 times in 40 days. But you also want to pick something that you're going to enjoy so you can get that $1 million.
I think I would. So the first thing that popped in my mind is Interstellar, but that's too long.
I was going to say, I'm thinking about a short movie.
Yeah, take a short movie.
Why wouldn't you pick a longer one? Because then you wouldn't have to watch it as many times.
No, you have to watch it.
You have to watch
the whole movie 100 times in 40 days. So like a three-hour movie versus an hour and a half, that's a double. You know, obviously, double. I'm going to pick the shortest good movie I like.
Yeah.
Got to be probably a comedy.
My go-to would probably be Predator. That's just my go-to movie. It's like that and Die Hard are like, those are always my comfort movies. So that would be easy because I could pretty much just turn my brain off at that point.
Yeah, I might watch The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, but I wouldn't want to ruin it because I love it.
Yeah.
I might go for Jackass. Not long, funny every time, and then if I ruin it, oh well.
Yeah,
there's another one coming out this year.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Would it be funny every time?
I mean, it is to me.
I'm fairly confident I have watched MacGruber 100 times in 40 days.
You're not letting go of this.
No, it's absolutely the movie MacGruber, and there's not a question in my mind.
I would go The Lion King. I love that movie. It's okay if I ruin it because I'm in my 30s now. I don't really need to be revisiting that all of the time. But it's only 90 minutes. Nice. It's beautiful animation, great music.
Yeah.
Don't do the live action one. That's horrifying.
No, no, no. I've never seen that, and I probably never will see it.
I thought it was fine.
Oh, it's horrifying.
It's fine.
Those animals are dead.
First of all, the problem is people keep calling it live action.
You're right, and it's not.
It's 1,000% CGI.
Right.
No part of that movie is live action.
It's just crazy, but yeah. They consider it live action.
Yeah, they didn't get real lions to go do all that stuff.
Put peanut butter in their mouths and make them talk.
Only one lion was hurt in the making of this film.
Fossa. Weird pivot. What do you guys think of de-extinction? We talked yesterday about the company that's hatching chickens with an artificial egg, trying to bring back the giant moa. They're also trying to bring back the dodo. Some scientists are pushing back, saying, first of all, you're not bringing them back. You're bringing back a facsimile of a facsimile of a facsimile.
Right.
Of
right.
The same thing.
Right.
They're like, F off. Yes, we are. And then they're also saying, like, have you never seen Jurassic Park? Like, it doesn't have to be Jurassic Park bad.
Just because you can doesn't mean we should.
Right.
What about the other side of it, though, is that a lot of those went away because of us, and maybe we're undoing our own damage.
But then where are they going to go? Like if we've invaded all their habitat land, and now we're like, we'll bring you back. But it's like,
I don't think the plan is to like bring back a million of them. I think it's more like, here's some in the zoo that we can kind of.
But isn't that just strictly for us?
Yes, to make us feel better. Yes, if you keep shrinking the Amazon rainforest, it's like, okay, but I mean,
bring them back so they can go extinct again.
Right. It's just. We don't have any place to put you, but here, like, now try to make it with all the smog and pollution that's
going on. Have you seen the T-Rex skin handbag?
What?
No.
They brought back T-Rex skin and made a purse out of it, and it's like $600,000.
So that feathers?
And which is why some anthropologists and paleontologists have said, this is so stupid. This is not T-Rex skin.
Sure.
It's blah, blah, blah. So.
Although technically there would be skin under the feathers. Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't want chicken skin first.
Right, this is what I'm saying. Right, right. It's, yeah.
So it's lab grown, obviously.
Uh-huh.
You would think that would make it much cheaper.
Oh, no.
Starting bid of approximately $663,000. I have to say, I do like this purse. I'm putting eyes on it.
We've got a buyer.
I don't think it's worth the money at all, but I'm like, that's kind of
if they could bring back a T-Rex, should you?
No.
Seems like a really bad idea.
It's cute.
Can I raise it?
Dave Murray's summer forecast is up next.
On KMOX 335, time for Dave Murray, brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. Big day, the summer forecast. Dave, you got your game face. You look ready.
I'm ready. What a great bump song, too. Bump in song.
Rachel always takes care of you.
Of course. I'm excited. I'm excited for the 2026 summer forecast.
So you want to do local forecast first?
Let's do local first, just get that out of the way, especially since it's holiday weekend. And do you realize that this Monday, the 25th, is the earliest possible Memorial Day we can have?
I did not.
And that's why it kind of snuck up on us. At least it snuck up on me. I can't believe it's this weekend.
Yeah.
All right. We're fine. A lot of clouds around right now. It's that northwest flow. Clouds this evening. Kind of cool, right around 60, 52 for the overnight low. Kind of go partly cloudy late tonight. Beautiful day tomorrow. Partly sunny and nice, 73. Nice Thursday night, though. Clouds taking over. Friday, unsettled day. Scattered showers and a couple of thunderstorms around. Nothing strong, nothing severe. 72 degrees. Saturday, Sunday, Monday for Memorial Day. Let's lump it all together. Partly sunny skies. It's warmer. About 80 degrees each day, so mainly in the 70s, and each day could bring a couple of spot thunderstorms, though I expect a lot of rain-free time over the holiday weekend.
Okay. Strap in.
All right, you got it. Are you ready?
Take it away.
Okay. This is June, July, and August. We'll also talk about the hurricane season a little bit. Okay, we start with June. Average high in June is 85.9, average low 67.2, just as a reference. Seems to be the pattern this year, the bounce around temperatures, and that is going to continue in the month of June. We'll have some great temperatures, but also expect some very warm to hot, but also a few chilly days are possible. There's no pattern in the temperatures that gets locked in because of the bounce. We'll be on the edge of a hot, dry pattern over southwest part of the country and Texas. We're going to have to watch that through the summer season. So it's a little bit of a battle between the bubble of heat and a rather persistent northwest flow that does not want to give up at all, hasn't given up at all the spring. I think it will continue in June. Temperatures, by the end of the month, with the bounce around, should average out to be just about average to slightly above. Pretty bearable month. June is also a month when thunderstorms typically really rock and roll. In my book, it's the wettest month of the year, mainly due to thunderstorms. And I do think June storms will be active with that northwest flow, thinking 4 to 6 strong to severe weather events. That's above average. All-day rains never happen in June. I think rainfall for the month will be above to possibly well above average, so no drought concerns this June, but flooding, flash flooding, will be a concern in the thunderstorm pattern. We all know that kind of drill. Things to look for: watch for birds carrying food to their young, check evergreens for bagworms, and cattail blooms are covered with pollen.
Anyone else grow up with cattails?
Ooh, I did.
I think we had them around, but we were a little suburban for that.
Yeah.
You didn't soak them in something and light them on fire?
Maybe.
Man, Dave, that was so much fun. Maybe. Soak them in kerosene and you go running around the backyard.
Yep.
Total fun.
Things we did that would never be allowed now.
Right. Or the kids just go like, I'm going to set a plant on fire and run. Like,
I would be like, how poor were you?
I'm going to build a model rocket and stuff it with fireworks and see what happens.
All right, sure, June, go ahead. June doesn't sound bad.
No, June actually sounds pretty good, though it could be a little wet at times. July, average high and low, 89.6, call it 90, and 71.1. July, typically the core of the summer heat and humidity for the St. Louis area, but my thinking this July, not so fast, my friend. It will continue to be the battle between that intense surge from the southwest, hot and dry and very dry, bone dry flow, and the summer break. I think the northwest flow is going to continue in July. So the key, the heat and dryness from the southwest does not take solid control. In fact, I'm thinking attacks will be rather limited. The northwest flow having the bulk of the weather muscle. But there's going to be battles in the air masses. Yes, it will be hot and at times very humid. It's July. Can't get away from that. But the northwest flow is going to keep this July from becoming a true summer beast. As a result, temperatures when looking at the entire month will be about average for the middle of summer. So it's not too hot. At least it's not anything that we can't handle. Yes, I think it will be the hottest month of the summer, but in the acceptable range. Northwest flow will tend to keep the thunderstorm pattern alive and well. The active thunderstorm pattern, no all-day rains, will keep our rainfall above to well above average, so no drought concerns in July. The number of thunderstorm events will be above average, thinking 3 to 4 during the month, and thunderstorms will once again bring the risk of flash flooding. Things to look for in July. The bird songs have now subsided. The birds are busy raising their young. Long-tailed weasels breed through August, and my favorite, watch for hummingbirds bringing their young to the feeder. Do I have to ask?
Janelle?
Do I have to ask?
Oh, I know. It's because they don't know the words.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
There you go. All right. Nice. It took about 5 or 6 years, but I think we have that now.
Yeah. Now we're still.
But I'm never going to give up.
David, doesn't sound like there's, so far, a lot of risk of drought.
No, not at all. Not at all the way I'm looking. Now, one thing that's going on is we're shifting from a La Nina pattern to neutral. We're kind of neutral right now to an El Nino pattern. It will be building as we go through the summer. That has a lot to do with what I'm calling for. And just because I do think we'll have plenty of thunderstorms to talk about.
Okay.
August, average high, 88. Average low, 69. The bouncy temperature pattern continues in August.
Overall, this is looking like a very bearable summer month for temperatures. The intense summer heat from the south-southwest will remain locked in place as a rare northwest flow, rare for summertime, will make a few August visits. No record highs, no record lows. Temperatures, when we add up the numbers, will be below, maybe well below average for August, but we do have to watch those little surges from the southwest. Rainfall, typically a very dry month. Never really want to fight that idea, but drought is not a concern for August like the bulk of the summer months. The storm track is going to remain active with the northwest flow. Send a few cool fronts our way. There'll be summer cool fronts. Also thinking with the El Nino building, the hurricane season is going to get off to an early start, maybe a very early start, and that could be as early as June. And we have to keep an eye on that. Any storms that form in the western and central Gulf of Mexico has the potential to bring some rainfall up over us. Things to look for. Look for large flocks of purple martins gathering for fall migration. Also, the hummingbirds start to head south too. Late summer molt produces drab colors in robins and a lot of other birds. They are not sick. And wild cherries and wild grapes begin to ripen. I mentioned hurricanes a little bit. The El Nino pattern tends to suppress hurricanes in the Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico. And as a result, I don't think it's going to be a giant season for that part of the world. One, maybe two storm systems that hit the U.S., but as we all know, with all the growth along the coast, it doesn't take much. In contrast, the Pacific, that has been very quiet the last 3 or 4 years because of the La Nina pattern, will really come alive in the El Nino pattern. I think the Pacific really rocks and rolls. Hawaii needs to be careful. And even Southern California, the coastline, has a possibility that has to be watched. The west coast of Mexico, if you're planning on traveling there, could be very active when it comes to Pacific hurricanes. There you go. There you have it. There you are.
Awesome.
Well done. Thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound rough to me. No. I know there's a lot of weird forecast out there, but you know, mine might be weird too.
No, thanks for your work, Dave.
You bet.
I know a lot goes into that.
Yes, it does, but that's okay. It's fun.
Give it a few minutes and be on your Facebook.
Yes, and Rachel already has a copy of it. She kept it very, very quiet. Ooh. So it'll be going up on the KMOX site, too.
I'm so glad that Rachel's now Dave's best friend.
Always has been. Always has been.
This is not a new development.
No, not at all.
I'm glad that I'm just realizing this. Thank you, Dave.
Alrighty, thanks
guys. 351 DGS. Janelle hanging out with us for one more segment. Matt Pauly joins us at the top of the hour. Wheels, tell us about the Take It Down Act.
Yeah, have you guys seen this?
No.
It just went into effect earlier this week. I think it went into effect on Tuesday. But what this is it's about revenge porn, right? It's now requiring the websites to follow through on requests to remove content. So, first of all, they gave all of the sites a year to comply with this new thing. So that just went into effect. So now, if you're a victim of this, now there is a mechanism in place on each website, supposedly. It's supposed to be easy to request something to be taken down because it is revenge porn or it was, you know, filmed without your consent or whatever. And in the past, apparently, it's been very difficult to do. And they're just, to me, there are a bunch of really interesting questions in all of this. But the number one is, why did we give a one-year grace period? Wouldn't this be a thing that it was signed into law a year ago? Why didn't it just go into law and maybe you get 90 days to get your website fixed up? But in the meantime, any regular request you must comply with immediately. I don't understand why we're giving leeway there. Because this is very clearly, that's very clearly a crime.
Okay, let me understand. So Janelle owns a site.
Right.
And yes, Rachel puts up revenge porn of me on it.
Right.
And I reach out and say, I want it down.
Sure.
Then what happens?
I have a year to take it. Or
up until now, you could we don't really have a mechanism for it. Or I mean, I'm sure some sites complied. I'm not saying that all sites are the same. They're not all the same. They're run differently. But they didn't have to under U.S. law. They did not have to comply with that request. And now they actually face a fine if they don't. And I think it's something like 55 or 60,000 per violation.
This always reminds me of when, like, Montana makes it illegal to have sex with animals, you know, and you're like, really? Just
how long right, was that in the books? Yeah.
Like, why did we give? Well, I mean, I don't think any website update to create an easier way to request something be taken down should take a year. That's number one. This, but the other thing that was interesting in this is that this also includes anything that's AI, so it doesn't have to be real. It can be somebody created an AI version of you and put it out there, and that applies. This law applies to that too. And you have to do it within 48 hours of receiving the request. So again, I think it's a good law. It makes sense to do. What I don't understand is A, what took so long? B, why give the 1 year grace period? I don't understand why we're giving any grace period at all for something like this.
I'm sure it's money.
There was a lobby. Yeah,
sure it's money.
The Adult Performer Advocacy Committee. I'm not sure if that's exactly the lobby that would handle something like this. But there's a lot of, I mean, just like anything else, there's going to be money being poured into protecting their interests, regardless of who it's hurting.
Money to be made in porn.
And to be clear, this also, this isn't just quote unquote porn sites. This includes TikTok, Snapchat, Meta. Sure. Twitter, Reddit, Discord, all of those too. And I'm sure that's why you got the buildup, because those quote legit sites, the ones that are not just porn, but have those types of adult content on there. And you know, Twitter has no filter.
No.
If it pops up on your feed and you're like, what? I didn't ask for this. Why is this on there? I don't follow anybody that's going to bring that. But I think that's probably your answer, right? Is that the big boys, Meta, Twitter, all of them had a say in it.
Yep.
Yeah. But again, how do you not simply push back on that as a government? It's like, you don't need time.
Well, you can
add this and you can have this done in a month.
We're quite selective.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, like, didn't it take like, there was like a few Republicans that voted against like child marriages, like some state recently.
Yeah.
So it's like,
oh, yeah.
Come on. I mean, really?